Oh, church, I want to talk to you today about a message that I've titled, Come Up Here. Come Up Here. Too much low living going on today. We need some up here living. Amen? Let's read out loud the Word of God from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, as well as verses 8 through 11. Let's read this out loud together. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are You, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. Somebody ought to say amen again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the great assurances that we hold on to as a child of God is what the Apostle Paul called the blessed hope. The blessed hope is wrapped around, tied to, and centered in the soon appearing of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe that in the very near future, Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder, what is Jesus going to say in that shout? What is He going to say in that shout that is so powerful, that radiates with such thunder and authority, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then all of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet Jesus in the air. I wonder what it is He's going to say. Now, I don't know for certain, but I've got a hint. I've got a clue in our text as to what it might be. Your Bible says that the Apostle John heard a voice, the sound of a trumpet with him, and with the voice it simply said, Come up here. And immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit, and I could hear a voice speaking with me. Now, it's an interesting thing when you study the book of Revelation in its totality. The church has been spoken to for the first three chapters. But from chapter 4, verse 1, until they see Jesus Christ coming back with His saints, the church is not mentioned, seen, or heard from again from chapter 4 all the way through 19. Because I believe the church heard Him say, Come up here, and they disappeared as well. With that, we've been talking about this thing called the revelation of Christ and the rapture of the church. The revelation of Christ is His second coming, but the rapture of the church is when He says to the church, Come up here, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to disappear, and we're looking forward to that great day. My message today is titled, Come Up Here. And in this message, I want to share with you three great truths that I see that we can discover from what happened to John when he heard the Lord say to him, Come up here. First of all, I want you to notice the worlds that John discovered. I want you to notice with me in this text the worlds that John discovered. Now, John discovered two worlds, and he lived in and he operated in two worlds. The first one is what we call the reality of the natural world. It was the reality of the natural world. In chapter 1, verse 9, as well as chapter 4, verse 2, listen to this testimony. I, John, was on the island called what? Patmos, because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what was the reality of the natural world for the Apostle John? The reality of the natural world for the Apostle John was a place called Patmos. Patmos was a barren island. It was a volcanic island in the Aegean Sea. It was 10 miles. It was 10 miles wide and 10 miles long and 6 miles wide. It was an island where nobody went for vacations. It was an island where nobody went for resort living. It was an island that would be used for a form of punishment. And on the island of Patmos, the world that John saw very clearly was the world of rejection, the world of isolation, the world of loneliness, the world of suffering, the world of indifference, the world of hopelessness, the world of despair. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Do you know the reality of the natural world? In the reality of the natural world, things go bad. In the reality of the natural world, things get broken. In the reality of the natural world, children become prodigal. In the reality of the natural world, people lose jobs. In the reality of the natural world, divorces take place. In the reality of the natural world, immorality prospers. John knew that world, and so do you, and so do I. John had been born into this world. And for us, though, for us, we have not only the reality of a natural world, we have the ability as twice-born men and women to live in another world. The reality of the natural world hits every single one of us every single day. Diseases come into our body. Disasters come upon our land. Crises come into our families. Our children grow rebellious. Loved ones die way too soon. In the natural world, we have funerals. In the natural world, we have hospitals. In the natural world, we have hopelessness. In the natural world, we have pain and suffering. In the natural world, we have depression. We have sickness. We have no answers. But oh, I want to show you something about John. John had another world that called him as well. Not only do we see the reality of the natural world, when you are a twice-born man or a woman, boy or girl, that means when you have been born physically into this world, but spiritually by God Himself, then you have the realm of the spiritual world at your disposal. You have the realm of the spiritual world at your disposal. Look at what it says in chapter 1, verse 10. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen? John understood what it was like to have heartache, hardships, disaster, punishment, isolation, unjust sentences leveled against you. He was in that natural world, and a part of that natural world was for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because he was a child of God, things were harder for him than they were for other people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes where you work, where you go to school, where you live, where you try to do right causes you more heartache and hardship when you're trying to be a sold-out, twice-born man or woman, boy or girl in this world. But oh, I want to tell you, not only do we see the reality of this natural world, but let's talk about the realm of the spiritual world. When you are a child of God, when you've been born again by the Spirit of God, there are three great benefits that John experienced here for us that I want to share with you. These are three things that you can have as well. And when you are operating in the realm of the spiritual world, you have the capacity. And when you have the capacity, you have the ability. And when you have the capacity and the ability, you have the privilege of being able to hear God's voice. You have the ability to be able to hear God's voice. Look at what he says in chapter 1, verse 10. And I heard behind me a what? Oh, praise his name. I heard a voice. In chapter 4, verse 2, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. Oh, somebody needs to pay attention to the voice of God today. There's somebody that the reality of the natural world is the only voice you've been listening to lately. But oh, God wants you to listen to the reality of the spiritual world, the realm of the spiritual world. And in this realm, even if you've been isolated, even if you've been rejected, even if you've been abandoned, even if you've been sent to prison, you can hear the voice of God. Oh, what was the reality of John? The reality of John was isolation. It was rejection. It was loneliness. It was a prison sentence. But oh, God had something else in store for him on that day. He let him hear the beloved voice of Almighty God. John, come up here, and I'm going to show you some things you've never known before. Not only when you operate in the realm of the spiritual world do you have the ability to hear God's voice, but you have the ability to see God's Son. Oh, there are times when you need John, like John did, for Jesus to walk right into the middle of your circumstances. There are times when the reality of the natural world are so overwhelming and so discouraging and so disheartening that you need to be able to hear God's voice. But there might be a time like John, you need to be able to see Jesus Christ in his flaming fire and his robes of glory and in his crowns of victory. And you need to see Jesus for who he is, not for what the world has tried to make him to be. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. These lampstands here, the Bible would go on to tell us, are the churches. And right in the middle of the churches, right in the middle of the people of God, Jesus Christ wants to stand up and do his business. And today, if you see him with the eyes of the Spirit, you can hear his voice and you can see him high and lifted up. Somebody say amen. No matter how bad your circumstances are, no matter how awful the natural world is to you, you can see Jesus riding victoriously, like the days of Elijah said, right into your circumstances. Amen? Oh, not only do you have the ability to hear God's voice and to see God's Son, there's a third thing that we see in the realm of the Spirit. You have the ability to know God's will. You have the ability to know God's will. Therefore, he says, write the things you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. Now here John was. Suppose John had decided, I'm just going to live based on what I see in the natural. What if he just decided, I'm going to live just what I see by way of my negative circumstances? What if I'm going to listen to the other voices that are competing with God's voice for me? What if I listened to the voice of the adversary and he said, God's forgotten you. God's abandoned you. God can't help you. But oh, John says, I decided to listen to the first voice that I had heard. And the first voice that I heard was like a trumpet. And the first voice that I heard said, come up here. And the first voice that I said, I'm going to show you things that nobody's ever seen before. Somebody say amen. That's what he says right here. Write the things that you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which take place after these things. And what you have before you in your Bible is called the Book of Revelation. And those are the things that God showed John, because even though he was on the isle called Patmos, because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus, he didn't live only in the natural world. He lived in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, the voice of God could be heard, and the Son of God could be seen, and the will of God could be known. Do you need to know the will of God today for your life? Get baptized into the spiritual realm. Let the Holy Spirit introduce himself to you. Let him come and take you along beside himself, and you listen to his voice, not anybody else's voice. Amen? Well, that's a pretty good introduction, all right? That's a pretty good introduction. Not only do we see the worlds that John discovered, but I want to show you the wonders that John discussed. When we see the worlds that John had discovered, it led him to some wonders that he would go on to discuss for us. And there are three of these such wonders. The first wonder, and again, it's a sense of amazement or astonishment, is that there was a door, and this door was what? It was open. Hallelujah. John says in chapter 4, verse 1, after these things, after hearing God's voice, after seeing God's Son, after learning about God's will, then I looked and I saw a door, and praise God, it was open. Where was that door leading to? It was a door leading up to heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. This door that was open. It is an interesting thing because in the time that we live in right now, guess what? That door's still open. A door is designed to permit access to something or to deny access to something. And John says, in heaven, this door, it was open. And John was invited to come on in. And John was about to see things that eye has never seen and ears have never heard and things that have not ever even entered into the hearts of men to contemplate. And John was going to write them for you and write them for me. Now, the great thing about this is this door that's open right now, it's the door of salvation. If you've never been saved, if you've never given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ, you can hear His voice today. Maybe the only world you've ever known is the reality of the natural world. But oh, God wants to invite you into the spiritual world. And you'll be born again by the Spirit of God. And when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you'll know that you've walked in through the door of salvation. And you'll know that Jesus is that door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one will come to the Father. No one will ever see heaven unless they come through Jesus Christ. Amen? The door of salvation, and it is still open. Praise the Lord. But you know there's coming a time. There's coming a time when that door is going to be closed. And you'll be able to see the door, but you won't be able to get past the door. When I was in college in Dallas, Texas in the 1980s, I had a job as a security guard. And one of my duties as the security guard was at 4 o'clock when the bank closed is to go and lock that door. Invariably, every day at 4:01, somebody would come wanting in. Now, the bank wants your money. They want to do business with you, but not after 4 o'clock. It doesn't matter how strong you pleaded. Doesn't matter how good your excuse was. That door wasn't opening again, and you weren't coming in to do business because the door had been closed. There's coming the time when the bank of heaven is going to be closed. The door of salvation is going to be ended. And even if you wanted in, which you will, you won't be able to enter into once the master of the house has closed the door. You'll weep and you'll wail and you'll beg and you'll plead, but no more will the door of salvation be opened again. Well, that's the first wonder that John saw. It was the door and it was open. The second sight that he saw was not only a door that was open, but a voice, and it was obvious. A voice, and now it's obvious unto him. Look at what it says in chapter 4, verse 2, and behold, verse 1, and the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a what? A trumpet. Man, once you get transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the first voice that you heard that got you into that kingdom of light is the voice that you hear again and again. But you hear other voices trying to crowd out that voice. But you need to go back to the first voice. What did that voice sound like? What kind of message did it have with it? And when you listen to the first voice, the loud voice, even though it's small and still, it'll speak louder than thunder. It'll speak louder than the mountains roar. It'll speak louder than anything you've ever heard before. And the first voice, let me show you three things about this voice that was so obvious to him. First of all, the identification of it was proper. The identification of it was proper. The first voice which I heard. Secondly, the invitation of it was personal. The invitation from it was personal. Look at what it says in chapter 4, verse 1. Speaking with whom? Speaking with me. Put your name in there. Put your speaking with you. You say me. When I say speaking to who, you say me. Speaking to whom?
Me.
Do you know what? This voice that's as loud as a trumpet, this voice that's as loud as an archangel, he's speaking to you today. He's speaking to you today, and he wants to speak to you every day. The identification of it was proper, but the invitation from it was personal. John, come up here. Come up here. The invitation was personal. But look at the third thing. Look at the third thing. The information was powerful. It was powerful. I heard the first voice, and it was speaking with me, and it said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Wouldn't you like to know what tomorrow holds for you? Maybe, maybe not. Wouldn't you like to know what in the world God's doing in the world? Well, there are times when God will let you know if you'll listen to the first voice that will speak to you. Wouldn't you like to know what the right decision is for you in a given circumstance or situation? But when you understand there is a door that's open in heaven, and when you understand there's a voice that becomes obvious to you, then the invitations that you get will be personal, and the information you receive will be powerful. Well, let's move on quickly. There's something else I want you to see. Not only do we see the wonders that John discovered, discussed, and the worlds that John discovered, but there was a door, it was open, there was a voice that was obvious, but there was a throne, and it was occupied. There was a throne, and it was occupied. Look at what he says in chapter 4, verse 2. And behold, a what? A throne was standing where? And what? One was sitting on the throne. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen, you're still living in the natural, the reality, the natural world. There are times when your problems are so severe. There are problems when your time when your burdens are so enormous that you wonder, is there anybody in charge of this mess? Is there anybody lord over this mess? Is there anybody strong enough to get me out of this mess? I want you to know that there is a door that's open in heaven. There's a voice that still comes out that's obvious. And there is a throne, and it is occupied. And you're not on the throne. I'm not on the throne. McCain's not on the throne. Obama's not on the throne. God is on the throne. Praise the Lord for the door. Praise the Lord for the voice. Praise God for the throne that's occupied. He is coming one day soon. He's going to put an end to the injustice. He's going to put an end to the poverty. He's going to put an end to the sickness. He's coming one day soon. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Boy, I like what he says. Behold, a throne. And look at what John says here. And what? One. One. Great big one. Capital letter one. One was sitting on the throne. Well, first of all, I'm glad there is a throne. Amen? Amen. Secondly, I'm glad that it's occupied. And I'm not on it. You're not on it. And the government's not on it. Nobody else is on it. Buddha's not on it. Confucius is not on it. Muhammad's not on it. But God is on the throne. Amen. Who is this one that's sitting on the throne in heaven? It's the same one who spoke to nothing and everything was created. Who is this one sitting on the throne? It's the one that Jacob wrestled with, and he was changed from a deceiver into a prince among men. Who is this one on the throne? It's the one who protected Daniel through the lion's den. It's the same one who got into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when it was 10 times hotter than it's ever been before. Who is this one on the throne? It's the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. It's the one who lived a sinless life. It's the one who died a vicarious death. It's the one who gave a victorious resurrection. It's the one who's coming for you. It's the one who's coming to me. But he's the one who lives inside your heart. That's who's on that throne. The one who's on the throne in heaven ought to be on the throne in your heart. Amen? He ought to be on the throne of your heart. And if he's on the throne in your heart, there's another realm that you live in. It's the realm of the spiritual world. Amen. But oh, it gets better. Pray for me to get a button or another call. The one who's sitting on the throne leads us to the third thing. And that's the worship that John described. Oh, let me show you something about the worship that old John described. First of all, the place that he described is inspiring to me. John simply says in chapter 4, verse 2, behold, a throne was standing where?
In heaven.
In heaven. Beloved, I agree with the Apostle Paul that if in this life only we had reason to hope, we of all men would be the most miserable or to be the pitied the most. If in this life only was all the joy that you'd ever know, all the happiness that you'd ever experience, all the peace that you'd ever know, it wouldn't be worth it. It wouldn't be worth it. As good as it gets here, it compares to nothing that is waiting on us there. Oh, beloved, there is a place where all the wrongs have been made right. There is a place where there is no sickness and there is no suffering. There is a place when there is no sorrow because there is no separation. There is a place, and it's so intriguing. John says it's heaven. It's heaven. You see, heaven is a place, but heaven's also a person. Heaven is a place as big, as vast, it's enormous. But it's a person. It's where Jesus is. But not only the place that's inspiring, but let me show you the second thing. The participants are intriguing. The participants are intriguing. In chapter 4, verse 4, he says, around the throne were how many thrones?
24.
And upon the thrones, I saw how many elders?
24
elders. And the living creatures, each one of them, day and night, day and night, day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Question for you. Who are these 24 elders? What did John see? What did John surmise? What was he trying to say? What was he trying to tell us about a place that eye has never seen, ear has never heard, and a place where it's never even entered into the heart of man, the kinds of things God has prepared for those who love him? Well, scholars do differ on this point, but it would seem to me that since the elders are on the thrones and they're crowned as victors, that they don't represent angels. Warren Wiersbe says it's unlikely that there are angels because angels are not numbered. Hebrews 12:22. They're not crowned and they're not enthroned. Besides, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, it says the elders are distinguished from the angels. The crowns they wear are victor crowns, the Greek word stephanos. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says the same thing. And we have no evidence that angels ever receive any rewards. These elders probably symbolize the people of God in heaven. Listen to this. The people of God in heaven who are now enthroned and now rewarded. There were 24 courses of priests in the Old Testament temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and Luke chapter 1. God's people are called kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. God's people are said to be reigning and serving with Christ. And note especially their praise of him in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. When Daniel in chapter 7, verse 9, saw the throne set up, not cast down, as the King James says, they were empty. But when John saw them, they had been filled. Since there were 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles, perhaps the number 24 symbolizes the completion of God's people enthroned, rewarded in heaven, praising God Almighty. Now guess what? John was looking forward to what was going to happen, and he saw you there, and he saw you there, and he saw you there, and he saw me there. Oh, praise the Lord. He saw us represented in heaven. He saw us praising Him and worshiping Him and bowing down to Him and falling down before Him. He saw us there where our sickness had been turned to gladness and our temporal bodies become eternal bodies, never to suffer again. Somebody say amen. Oh, my goodness, the participants are intriguing. But, oh, I want you to get this now. The procedure that John described is illuminating. How did they go about worshiping? How did they go about praising? Chapter 4, verse 9. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him. Oh, beloved, you see Jesus high and lifted up. What you're going to do and what I'm going to do. Worthy. 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 Holy. 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 To you who were, who are, and is to come. Hallelujah. They fall down before Him. And they worship Him. And they worship Him. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power for you. Because you were created. You created all things. And because of your will, they have existed. Oh, beloved, I don't know about you, but I want some authentic worship. I don't want my worship up there to be any more drastically different than it has to be because I'm there and not here than it has to be. I want to do God's will on earth as it's already being done in heaven. And that's what Jesus said. If you want to pray, pray this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, just as it's already being done in heaven. What do we know is already being done in heaven? We know people still fall down in the presence of Jesus. We know people still give Him glory and honor. We still live in the natural world. And when you leave here today, you'll leave here with the natural hardships of this life. But oh, if you've been twice born as a man or woman or boy or girl, you have the capacity to take the realm of the spiritual world back into your natural world. And you can hear God's voice, and you can see God's Son, and you can know God's will. Somebody needs to celebrate that today. If you've never been saved, I invite you to give your life to Jesus. We're not talking about you becoming religious. We're not talking about you joining a church. We're talking about you establishing a personal relationship with a thrice holy God, and He'll come to sit on the throne of your heart and life, and He'll lead you and He'll guide you from this day forward.